This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, pro wrestling fans, here on a Saturday. It is a weekend edition of Busted Open Radio. I am your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell. We got the one and only world's strongest man, Mark Henry, along for the ride here on this Saturday. And we got a stacked show for you today, including a review of SmackDown, which ended up being a really good show. And for a really large reason, at least for me, as we talk about large, it looks like Big E, formerly Big E Langston, member of the New Day. He might be going solo. And that is a very exciting premise for everybody on this show. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the rest of SmackDown. We're also going to ask Mark Henry about what he thought about the tease of a new Nation of Domination that came on Monday Night Raw. Ron Simmons / Farouk showing up and chatting it up with the Hurt Business. We'll get Mark Henry's thoughts on that, which will lead into, of course, it is a Saturday, so that means we are going to give you our weekly winner for the best pro wrestling show in the week that was. And we're going to wrap up kind of going back in the week a little bit. We're going to revisit Pat McAfee and Adam Cole, and Mark and I are going to tell you exactly why we are proof positive, 100% sure that was not a work. That was as real as it gets. So you want to find out more? That's great. All you got to do, sit back, relax, click play on that browser and get it going. Bust it open on a Saturday. Let's go. Kofi being very supportive of his teammate and encouraging him that his time is now. That Big E is primed for a title run, primed for a singles run. And it looks like, Mark, that is exactly what we're going to get. It looks like the New Day is being paused for the foreseeable future. And Big E Langston, Big E is finally getting his push after many, many years. And I couldn't be happier. We were talking about it last week, right, Mark, with Cesaro and Knock when they squared off against New Day. And just seeing Cesaro and him go back and forth. I mean, I could watch this for like 5 years running. I could watch this every week.
I mean, and that's what we said exactly last week. Give me more of those two guys. It was electric. Their chemistry was great. Yep. Everything looked so great on screen. And I thought the biggest part of Kofi and Big E was that conversation where he said, you know, this is your time. But the thing that was the most important of that is, he said, when I was in your spot, you supported me.
Yep.
You pushed me to not look at what is, but look what could be. And he was basically saying, you can do exactly what I did, and we're behind you. And he said Woods and I. Mm-hmm. So it's collectively, Woods is not coming back right away. So this take this time to get it together, and I think this will be a good time, you know, and 6 weeks, month and a half, you know, maybe the whole New Day comes back together. But maybe for right now,
hey, and then not to cut you off, but maybe the whole New Day comes back as the new Nation of Domination. I don't know. Just a little teaser. Ooh, we're going to be talking about the new nation. This guy that I'm looking at right now through the video stream. Yeah, I guess. He was one big powerful force in the Nation of Domination. So I'm excited to get to that. But point being, Mark, is this is fresh. It's interesting. There's a natural built storyline in between from the 6 years that these three have been together, but also the storyline of fans screaming at the top of their lungs for years, I want Big E in singles matches that mean something. Real gold on the line. And that's why, because as we talk about this potential run for Big E, we are talking about arguably the greatest faction of all time. Big E has been a part of our conscience now for almost a decade when he came up as the bodyguard, I believe, for Dolph and AJ, right? He is the five count back at NXT. Like, there's so much about this guy that we have followed and enjoyed and been a part of, and we have been clamoring for that singles run forever. That's why I'm saying, Mark, I don't want to see an AJ Styles intercontinental run. I want to see Big E go right into the title picture, and I want to see him be a threat and maybe even be champion before WrestleMania. I don't know exactly how that plays out, but I do know that this dude is deserving of it, no question.
Yeah, you know what, man? It looks like it pays dividends to be the bodyguard of Dolph Ziggler. I mean, you got Big E, you got Drew McIntyre. I mean, like, who else? Like, that's enough. Those two are enough. Like, who's next? I'm Dolph Ziggler. I need a bodyguard. Anybody? Come on, speak up now. Like, that's they need to do it.
Yeah. Well,
I believe if it's out there, do it.
Well, I don't disagree. And you talk about, you know, if it's out there, do it. I think here's the thing. When you talk about a guy like Big E, he's got the in-ring. I mean, he's explosive. He's ridiculous in terms of the full body splash and the athleticism and the crazy stuff he can do at being the size that he is. But by and large, above all the freakish talent that he has in the ring and the veteran presence that he brings to the ring now, having been a part of this roster now for all these years, this dude is gold on a microphone. He is going to be able to captivate your audience. He's going to be able to keep it serious, or I should say keep it light, or he can go serious. He can go wherever you want him to. He's as versatile gets. And we talk about this with relatability and likability factor. Big E is about as relatable as they come. That dude just comes off as a genuine human being. And when you're talking about a babyface running for a title, I don't give a shit what the title is. That is what you want. This dude is the entire package.
Yeah, I mean, I could just hear it now. Oh, Texas, don't right? you dare be sour. Clap your hands for the man that will become the new WWE World Champion. Like, I'm telling you, man, like, this is a moment in time that we're going to remember, because it's going to start with Cesaro. There's going to be some Shinsuke in there. And then maybe you throw him in there with the Baron Corbins. You throw him in there with the AJ Styles, the Daniel Bryans. How in the hell are we going to be able to digest that? Big E is that good, man. And you talked about him on the microphone. The microphone only makes it, it's the appetizer. It's setting the table. It's the, you know, picking out the fine wine and all of that. But the meat of his work is what he does in the ring and with the intensity that he does it. His abilities is what make him really who he is. But I don't know if you said, well, let's find the most balanced wrestlers in the WWE. In that top 20 guys, Big E would be in that top 20 as far as balanced guys that can wrestle, psychology, mic work. Like, how do people feel about them as a viable commodity that you want to probably start your company with? Like, Big E is one of those guys.
Yeah, and relatively, I know he had an injury about a year ago or whatever it was, but he's been mostly healthy. I mean, especially for his size and the type of matches that he puts on. We know about this with WWE, Mark. If they're going to invest in you and they're going to push you, they want to feel comfortable about you being able to contribute on a regular basis. I think maybe that is one of the issues that befell Finn Balor and others at different points, right? You know, I don't think you have to worry about that as much with Big E. I think he's just ready made and not prepackaged, because he's very much his own self and character, just tailor-made for whatever they want to throw at him. He can do it all. So very exciting times. Now, you bring up Cesaro, right? And as we know, tag team champion with the one and only Shinsuke Nakamura. But Mark, this is an interesting time for that tag team division on SmackDown, because New Day's done, at least for the foreseeable future, right?
Yeah, at least a month. A month and a half.
Right? Maybe a little bit more. So that begs the question, what the hell are Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro going to be doing as tag team champs? Like, who can they viably feud with? Because it feels a little slim pickings on Friday night.
You know what, man? Like, I feel the same way. Like, they have not promoted the tag division on SmackDown the way that they should. I mean, the women's tag been getting a lot of light. But sure. The men's tag, not so much. Who do you think it should be?
Well, I would say Morrison and Miz, right? Because I think both of them are world champions in their own right. But they've been booked in such a comical sort of way that I don't know if that's the feud that I want to see, right? Like, Morrison was just terrified, shit in his drawers over Braun Strowman a couple weeks ago. And I love what they're doing. I mean, we saw it last night with Naomi. Like, they are in pocket. They are great at what they're doing. But then you look at the roster, and it's, again, it's just thin, you know, Newt. And that's really where, you know, we come to appreciate, not that anyone is not appreciating, but it really does appreciate, or it gives that appreciation to New Day, because they've just been there for the last 6 years in one shape or the other. whether it be with the Usos, whether it be with whoever, pushing these divisions and bringing real credibility to a time when tag team wrestling on Monday and Fridays just doesn't seem to mean what it does on other nights. So,
but it really, Ryan, don't take but a week or two to say, true? You know what? I haven't got a shot at the tag titles. Usos.
Yeah.
Then you can have Morrison and Miz, and you can go through like the WWE is historically famous for putting two guys together that they're not using.
Right. Cesaro Nakamura to start the
Yeah, making a tag out of them. and doing that. And now you got about four or five or maybe six tag teams that you put in a tournament. And I've always been pro tournament.
Oh,
you know, I talk about that all the time, especially as it relates to, I didn't think for a while that they were using the women enough. And I was like, start a tournament and have, you know, like two women's matches on every show, you know, or put together all women's, you know, wrestling channel. Or all wrestling show on the network, started on the network, and then hopefully one of the big networks picks it up. Like, it could be done. There's enough talent there.
There's
and we need question. To do the same thing for the tag now.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say, Mark, you have the fan following where I forget who was talking about it earlier in the week, but I think it was Dave and Bully on Monday were talking about the star power, and then maybe the lack of star power currently right now in the WWE, but then they threw out Sasha Banks. Like, they were throwing out women's names in terms of some of the biggest stars in WWE. And I don't know how merch sales go. I don't know essentially how all that factors in. But when you hear buzz, when you hear people talking, I would say a good portion of the time, women are being brought up in terms of the things that folks are enjoying most on Friday and Monday. So you're not wrong. I want to say one thing before we go off to break. And this is back to the New Day and Kofi and Big E's upcoming singles run. At least that's what it looks like. These guys, the New Day, Mark, you know this, they have been vocal proponents of social change. We just saw Major League Baseball come back within the last couple of days, right? Everyone was taking a knee, a lot of Black Lives Matter support. Kofi Kingston and the New Day have made a shirt, and it is from, I think, like last month, around the George Floyd protests, when Kofi and Big E defended, I believe, their tag team championships, and they went in the ring and they rose their fist, right? They've made a shirt out of that, and here's the cool thing. It's $25, and Kofi's been tweeting about this on Twitter. You can get these shirts, and all the proceeds are going to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. It's a really cool, like, graffiti sort of graphic of them raising their fists in that match. And again, it's $25 and all proceeds go to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. And this is what Kofi's saying, a small way you can help contribute to the fight against social injustice. And he has a link on his Twitter page. You can find out there at True Kofi. This is the stuff I love, Mark. And I know you agree, but it's just really great to see them, you know, having the runs that they're on, but also doing so much for the world around them. It's just, again, true baby faces, but not because they're being told to. They're just good dudes.
Yeah, just good dudes. And I definitely will support. You know, I guess I'll give him a call today and get more information. But, you know, you go to Kofi Kingston's Twitter page and see what it is that he's talking about.
Yeah, very, very cool shirt and a very, very cool time for the New Day. We know that Kofi and obviously Xavier are on the shelf, but this is opening up a new window for Big E, and who knows what could come of this. This could be very much what, Mark? I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous. I don't want to be hyperbolic, but this is kind of how Kofi Mania started. It was a little bit of buzz, yep. Had a couple good matches. The crowd got behind him. I know there's no crowd, but we saw it with Naomi Deserves More, right? You can have that crowd on social media. You can make your voices heard. I think Big E has a real opportunity here to do some special things, and I'm here for it, Mark.
Yeah, I'm all for it, too.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Pat McAfee and Adam Cole going at it on Pat McAfee's podcast. And Mark, there was a lot of talk between you and Bully Ray yesterday. You guys took a lot of calls, and a lot of the calls, Mark, were essentially saying, I think it's a work, right? I think that was planned. I think,
yeah,
listen, I'm with you. First of all, when you got you and Bully Ray saying, yeah, I don't think that was a work. And then me as the radio guy, right? Not to say that you aren't. I'm just in the case of this conversation, you're the pro wrestling guy. I'm the radio guy, right? If we're playing the roles of Cole and McAfee. I have been, and we've talked about it on this show, I have been in contentious, heated interviews before where it wasn't cordial and I didn't like the person I was interviewing and they didn't like me and it didn't go the way I thought it would. I reacted the same way essentially.
I was just going to use you as an example when, you know, you had your issue on your show and it was like, man, well, fuck you. Well, fuck you. Well, shit, the shit's over. Leave. Leave. Goodbye. You, nobody's keeping you here. You know, like that's the way it ended. And it was exactly like the same. And for all of those people that look at that situation and you don't want to get in a fist fight because now you start thinking about legalities and, you know.
Well, hold on. You don't want to get in a fist fight. I definitely want Adam Cole or a UFC fighter to punch me because that's vacation time. Let's go. Let's go, Mark Henry. Let's go. This is America.
Oh, my God. I'm
this
telling
is the,
you,
the
man.
Land of the cover.
America. Okay. A land of this lawyer up and sue the shit out of somebody. That's what America has become. Yep. But I just, you know, I think it ended. People like, oh, it should have. They would have hit each other or this. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. Now, in the whole video, there's a point where one of the aides comes up. You know, one of the camera guys, the sound guys that tried to get in between them. And he puts his hands out like, hey, man, like, just calm down. And Adam Cole, open hand slap, pushes him in the neck and chest area. Mm-hmm. That's a no-no. You don't put your hands on people. And some of these people are in unions and shit like that. The union will sue your ass. Like. So I'm expecting for the WWE to issue an apology. I'm expecting for Adam Cole to issue an apology, not just to Pat McAfee, but to the aide who he put his hands on. And I'm thinking that down the road, there will be new protocols for whenever you go to a show. Guys won't be there by themselves. There'll always be a WWE representative with them, something to that effect.
Well, and another reason, there's a few reasons why I think it was a shoot. Number one, the reaction of McAfee after, where he's like, I didn't think I was that out of line. He's asking his crew, right? Like, did I do something that I didn't recognize? Like, he's going over in his head what just happened. He was legitimately shocked. Been there.
Yeah, he better be glad that he left. Right. Or I was going to. No, it wasn't none of that kind of shit. It was
he was shocked.
He was in shock. That's what it was.
So I understood that because I've been in there before. Like, holy shit, did that just happen? Wow, that did not go the way I thought it was. And then you work it out almost on the air because it's really all you can do because you still have an hour and a half to go. You still have 2 hours to go. Whatever McAfee had left in his show, you can't just ignore it. So you kind of got to talk about it. McAfee handled that exactly how I would. And also, Adam Cole handled it exactly how I would. So when I see the interaction between those two, that was as real as it gets to me. If I'm in a heated discussion, first of all, Cole didn't really snap. You could see he didn't want to. He's like, oh, so we're going to bring size into this. And then the rage overtook him. And why did that happen? Because even up until now, at the longest reigning NXT championship run in history, there is still the conversation around Adam Cole being too short. Right? He's billed as 5'11 or whatever the hell they say is. He's probably 5'9. It is something that is always on the mind of, I don't want to say undersized pro wrestlers, but some of the lesser stature pro wrestlers, right? You're essentially, Mark, you're messing with Adam Cole's money. When you bring up size like that, that is probably a real issue that he's had to overcome at multiple times. And if that's the thing that set him off, I completely understand it because that would set me off. If I've worked my whole life, 10 years, and you're bringing up the thing that pisses me off the most, I mean, you can understand where Adam Cole's coming from.
I do. And you and I, we're both guys that men of stature, fluffy,
sure,
big boned, whatever you want to call it. if we're on Pat McAfee's show.
Yeah.
And Pat makes a reference, you know, like you're a large gentleman. I'm sure you like to tie one on and, you know, have a steak and some potatoes every now and then. And, you know, hopefully you don't do that before your match, because then, you know, we don't want you to be heavy and, you know, feel lethargic. Or the, and then you start going, hey, man, that ain't got shit to do with what I'm facing, you know, where I'm going into this wrestling, you know, area or whatever.
Right.
I think that if you are subconscious and have your own issues with size, or you have your own issue with something like that, then you have a chip on your shoulder already about it. And I think that's what happened with Adam Cole.
Yep.
Because I looked at the whole interview from the time he got on. They were laughing and joking and had good chemistry, talking back and forth. And Pat made reference to, when you are limited in certain ways, you have to be more intelligent. Mm-hmm. You have to be smarter. You have to be well studied. You have to have another element that changes and creates an even playing field. And that's what you have done with your faction. You were able to surround yourself with Roderick Strong.
Right.
And I don't know why his name is slipping.
Bobby Fish.
Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
Like, y'all have made one of the greatest wrestling factions of all time. That's smart. That's, you know, I mean, you know, you don't have to be the biggest guy when you're the smartest guy. And then you can see the wheels kind of, you know, it wasn't blatantly obvious, because I had to go back and look at him in his face when Pat was talking to him. And he was like, wait a minute, you're trying to make it seem like I wouldn't have been able to do what I've done without the group. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, we know you know, tough guy, you know, you've done your thing, but you got to admit, you know, you had some help.
Yeah. And you're a little
and
smaller.
He's like, but no, the smaller thing did not come until after Adam Cole said, now you're one to talk. You were a punter.
Right.
Of all things. Which, you know, you kicked the ball and all the rest of the guys carried the load and did everything. And now he was like, well, I was player of the decade in my position in the era that I played. And he's all, I was in NXT champion for over a year. And then it's like, Pat McAfee now is a smart dude that can kill you with kindness. And he was like, well, I mean, you know, for a smaller guy, oh, so now we're going to bring size into it. So basically,
boom. Yeah,
it was less than a minute of banter back and forth that led to all of this shit happening.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
If you ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yeah, pro wrestling fans, you hear the music. You know what it is, Nation. It's hour two on a Saturday. It is weekly winner time here on Busted Open. I am Ryan McKinnell. That is, of course, the world's strongest man, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry. All right, Mark, it is now time. We kind of talked about it to start the show in hour one. I felt like every show this week, and it's not always the case, I don't think there was a blowout A-plus show on any night. But I think we had some solid B-plus shows, from Impact to Raw to AEW and NXT. And honestly, to SmackDown, it was probably like maybe B-minus. But all B-level shows and all really solid pro wrestling. So this is a tough choice. Oftentimes when we come into Weekly Winner, it's a tough choice from Wednesday for me, because I'm picking between AEW and NXT. This was tough for me all across the board, because every show was pretty solid.
Well, it's a little bit different this week, And I'll go first if you don't mind.
I would love that.
This is a week where we had an added element because on Tuesday night, nobody expected Impact. To have another player in the game, but Impact was definitely a player in the game. And if I was going to, give my grades, I'm going to start all four shows I saw this week, Raw, NXT, AEW, Impact, and SmackDown. Everybody has a B. There was not a bad show this week. This was a great week for pro wrestling. You go to Impact, coming off a pay-per-view. They came out and made announcements and they came out and put people in spots where you saw a little replay, but you also get to see the introduction of people. And I told you, I always like introductions.
Yeah.
Which, brought them up to a B plus to me. And I thought that was a B plus show. SmackDown last night was a good show. It was not super wrestling heavy, but it had a cinematic main event. It had skilled wrestling in the beginning. It had the wrestling entertainment with, Miz and Morrison. And it had an emotional backstage interview with Big E and Kofi. Yep. Like, it had elements that brought it up from a B to a B plus. AEW, same thing. Cody Rhodes is Cody effing Rhodes. He's doing his thing. Chris Jericho, listen, the most entertaining wrestler in the world. They brought it up from a B to a B plus. And now the two shows that where we have them at a B, Raw and NXT, I really enjoyed, and I may be a little sizist, not prejudiced, but sizist, the triple threat.
I knew you were going there with Bronson
on
Reed.
NXT with Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
Blew my damn mind.
Yeah.
He did everything that a guy is supposed to do to get attention and to draw attention from two guys that were really, really over. Who shined in that match? Bronson Reed. And then you have a better than average women's match with Chauncey Blackheart and
Aaliyah.
I've been hitting Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Match was good.
Yeah.
The entertainment value around that match was good. And then you get to the main event.
Woo. Okay.
Dominik Dijakovic held his own with a monster. For the first time, we got to see a reversal out of Cross's finish. First time. And it didn't help. He still got his ass handed to him. He got some hammer fists, a la MMA. He got some forearms to the face and neck that I felt like at a couple of times I was like, shit, man, golly, stop it. I'm a pro wrestler. I've been a pro wrestler for 24 years. And an analyst for another three. And I was seriously going, are they going to stop this? Like, damn. It was stiff and tight. And then you have Keith Lee come down and he's like, man, just finish him. Just you got him beat, man. Like, well, enough. He's like, no, I want you to stand there and watch this and torture Dijakovic. And finally, it gets to the point where they end it. And Keith Lee is standing there like Dijakovic is like, don't interrupt, man. Let me do this. I got this. I'm going to die on my own shield. Like, it was emotional.
Mark, you know what it was?
It was Rocky IV.
Fucking A. That is exactly what
I was going to say. Damn towel. It's an exhibition.
Yep.
And it was poetry. It was really, really fucking good.
I just love that you knew exactly what I was talking about.
I'm in your head, brother.
We have not discussed this.
We have not talked about this. I know what it was.
Yep.
And that elevated that show from a B to plus B, which I would have to give it an A just off those two matches, or three matches. And then the start of NXT was good. And then you go to Monday night. Monday night, balanced show. You had people come out and, you know, we had some introductions. You have the champion involved. You have the Hurt Business, and you have a guy come back. Ali comes back. Which I told you, I love comebacks. Yep. I love introductions. I think that adds a lot to the show. But as good as the drama was on NXT, Big Show and Randy Orton, I said everybody had a B. But I'd be remiss if I did not say that I should have started them at a B+. Randy and Big Show, brother. We it's been some good matches this year.
Absolutely.
From WrestleMania with Undertaker and AJ Styles to Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles and Timothy Thatcher and Matt Riddle. I mean, Riddle and Styles
from last week.
We had some good matches.
No,
throughout this time, from the Randy and Edge, but Big Show and Randy on Monday was masterful. Big Show still got it, man. He was able to do things that I've seen him do in his prime. I know he was sore as hell the next day. Had to be.
Had to be.
You know he was sore as hell.
Because he's not working a regular schedule. It's not like he's taking bumps and going out in house shows and like staying in pocket. No, he just goes out and has a 15-minute, a really well-done match with Randy Freeman.
Really well-done match. Yeah. And Randy Orton, listen, man, like, is he at the end or is he in the middle? I don't know. I thought that, this is the end of Randy's career. He's, you know, got another 5 years left. He'll start to, you know, kind of delegate his duties down to, you know, making other people look good. And Randy's too damn good, man. I don't want to be in the ring with him now.
Mm. Well, it's what Bully was saying yesterday.
Get in there
on the
with
show.
Him now.
Yeah.
So I give him an A. Give them an A. I gave NXT just a little slightly better than a B+. So, you know, AEW, and everybody was even except for NXT and Raw. And Raw, I told you, Raw don't get a lot of love. They've had some Raws that I could have done without.
Yeah.
No but question. This one was really, really good. And if you're not first,
you're last.
You're last.
That's right.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to apologize. First of all, I think that's a great breakdown. I don't think you disappointed anybody, and I don't think anyone can argue that Raw was an extremely solid show. I did the show with Jonathan Hood on Tuesday coming off of Raw, and we had a lot to talk about. Obviously, I was really amped up about a potential Nation of Domination reunion, which we'll talk about coming back after break. But for me, this week was all about tone setting. Right? Setting the tone.
Okay.
How did the tone set on Monday Night Raw? With a damn near 20-minute match between Seth Rollins and Aleister fucking Black. Like, yes. That was the tone setter for Raw. I don't know if everyone was trying to live up to it or if it's just the way the pieces fell into place, right? But after watching that match, it felt like everything kind of siphoned off of that. Like, they were feeding on that energy, whether it was the return of Mustafa Ali or that great Street Profits match. Mark, how about Montez Ford's fucking frog splash?
Bro.
What?
Twisting, turning.
What?
He had to be 10 feet above the top rope. Minimum.
So pretty. Damn. I couldn't believe my eyes when I
hate I even left that out. I hate I left it out.
Well, don't worry. I brought it back around for you. So you had that. And then how about Kairi Sane going out on a win? Her WWE career is allegedly for at least over for the time being, and the E sent her out with a win. Mark, that does not happen often. And I was talking with Jonathan Hood on Tuesday. I think the reasoning for that is that Kairi wants to go home to Japan by reports, build her family, take a next chapter in her life. It felt like the WWE was giving her a tip of the cap and saying, thank you for your service. We hope that if you decide to return, you return to us. It felt like they wanted to send her off with as positive feelings and as a clean a taste in your mouth as you could possibly have, right? At least that's how it read to me.
Yeah, and that's how it should read to everybody, even though there's more layers to it that I can't, talk about. But those announcements will be made at another date, but like that's exactly how I felt. That's the way that it came across.
I like it. That's what we call a tease. And to your point, the match between Big Show and Randy Orton, just I couldn't say enough positive things. Big Show kicking out of a RKO. It was a good match for a man with Big Show. Orton, listen, I don't think there's any question. He is nowhere near the end of his career. I'm with Bully Ray and others. No. Where I think he's doing the best work of his career. And I have never been a huge Randy Orton fan. I am finding myself enveloped in his storyline and not necessarily rooting for him, but definitely looking forward to what his next chapter is going to be in the story as he goes on this run. It's been really enjoyable. I'm sorry.
I shouldn't interrupt you on your weekly winner.
Oh, it's okay.
How live is Randy Orton, man, where you put Ric Flair with him and then all of a sudden you realize, you know what?
Don't really
He's
need Ric
too Flair. Good. He don't need Ric Flair.
Don't really need the nature good. Boy. Yeah, that's
Are
a great
you?
Point, Mark Henry. That is a great
Damn
point.
Damn, he good.
So we talk about trends, or it's not setting, not trends, excuse me, setting the table, right? Making your mark and kind of jumping off, right? We talked about Aleister Black kicking off with Seth Rollins. How about AEW starting their show with Eddie Kingston showing up and laying down one of the best promos of the year? What I loved about that was, first of all, when I looked on social media, everyone's like, who the hell is Eddie Kingston? Right? Like no one really knew. Eddie Kingston is very much an indie darling. He first came across my radar in a feud with Kevin Steen in the ROH years. I want to say like maybe like 11, 12 now Kevin Owens. And he's been around, right? Like Eddie Kingston. And that's the great thing about Eddie Kingston. I felt like he set the table with his promo and his match with Cody Rhodes. But what I also loved is that's the same Eddie Kingston that I've seen for 10 years. Like every time he's reintroduced or introduced to a new audience, it's always like, I've been through hell. I grew up around addicts. You're a pussy and I'm going to show you what real wrestling is. It's simple. It's the same thing with Eddie every single time. But now it's just on a much bigger stage. And he really grabbed the attention, I feel like, a pro wrestling fans on Wednesday night. And the rest of that show on AEW I thought was spectacular. I thought NXT was very, very well done. Anytime Karrion Kross is in a main event, it's going to be hard for me not to have it be my weekly winner because I am a Karrion Kross mark. And Friday, you know, SmackDown was a solid show centered around wrestling. And, you know, a lot of the times we'll come on here and we'll skip a show. We won't talk about it or we'll just kind of gloss over it. This is one of those weeks with Weekly Winner. I feel like we need to talk about everything. The Motor City Machine Guns on Impact, taking back the titles, or not taking back, but winning the titles from the North in a great stylistic matchup. The continuation of Heath, formerly Heath Slater. And I told you there'd be more surprises on Impact on Tuesday, and there was. And I talked about this to start the show, Mark. It feels like Impact is going through a very important time right now. right? Because there are moments in the business where you get eyes that you wouldn't normally get on your product. And that doesn't mean indies. It doesn't mean lesser. I mean, it could be the WWE. Like when did The Rock come back? The Rock came back for SmackDown, right? To that first episode of SmackDown. That was a big moment for the WWE. They knew that. They're like, hey, we are going to get viewers back and we need to knock this shit out of the park, right? I think Impact knew that coming in with Tuesday with their show coming off of Slammiversary, and they needed to deliver, and they did. That said, I don't know if it's the fact that like expectations are maybe a little lower for Monday night, or if it's the fact that I'm putting them over the top with the 3 hours. The fact that, hey, every other show is 2 and Monday Night Raw is 3. So I feel like they have a little bit more to live up to and a little, obviously, more time to fill. I'm giving also my weekly winner to Monday Night Raw. And I think this is only the third time I've done this since we started it in October. But I look at the legacy push of Big Show and what that match meant to so many people and the burner that Randy Orton is on. And I look at the rest of the matches, as I said, Aleister Black and Seth Rollins. And then I go back to what was my favorite moment of the week. This could very well end up being my favorite moment of the year. And depending on how it goes, might damn well be my favorite moment of the decade. And that is the potential return of the Nation of Domination. It was teased on Monday Night Raw. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to catch up and get the thoughts of one of the more famous members of the Nation of the Domination. He is a Hall of Famer. He is the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. Yeah, we're going to trap that up. We're going to continue on this conversation around Raw, and I want to hear Mark Henry's thoughts on a potential reboot of the Nation here on a Saturday. This is Busted Open.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
And Mark, I want to talk about something that happened on Monday Night Raw, tease it before we went to break. And that was Ron Simmons, your old pal, Farouk, showing up backstage and telling the Hurt Business, MVP and Bobby Lashley, he didn't essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, didn't essentially appreciate the way they were going about their Hurt Business and that there was, quote, a better way, and then gives them a fist bump. I got to be honest, Mark, I knew you were in the area. We had talked about it on Saturday that you were in Orlando. I thought for sure we were either getting a Mark Henry roll up for the 24/7 title over Shelton Benjamin, or we were getting another appearance and maybe we were getting a new Nation. That didn't happen on Monday. I don't know what the future has in store, but damn it. I mean, it looks like we might be building to something really special. And I refuse to believe that Ron Simmons wouldn't come out there and say there's a better way and kind of do it the way he did it if there weren't plans for a new Nation. Mark and the listeners, you guys both know this. You guys all know this. I would love a new Nation. I was going crazy about it on Tuesday. It's something I've wanted forever. I think the pro wrestling world wants it. I'm sure there's workers out there who want it. You tell me, Mark Henry. What do you think the likelihood of a new Nation popping up is? Because, I mean, on some level, it is a risk, right? It is a risk. It's a political sort of feel. I mean, it was different doing it in 96, 97, as opposed to 2020. But I think it would hit. I think it would work, assuming that it was done correctly. Again, what do you think the likelihood is?
You know what, man? I think that there is some likelihood that something remotely similar could happen in the future, but it'll never be what the Nation was. Like the Nation, for all of the things that were looked at them negatively or looked at us negatively, there was a lot of positivity out of the Nation because the Nation never really said we're black. The Nation said we're powerful. We have to be respected. You have to pay attention to us. And everybody that was in the Nation left the Nation better because of being in the Nation. And I think that's what's trying to be what can be recreated.
And it's also why, because we were talking about if you're going to bring back the Nation or a stable like it, as much as I would love to see it be the New Day, or members of the New Day, whatever the case may be. I think it would have a more effective turn if you made the New Day sort of the new nation. I also understand that they don't need that. You just said, right? Everybody who came out of the original nation was better off for being in the nation. They right.
They're already
that.
Better off.
Exactly. So,
you know, who is, so I look at it as, and Ron said it best. There's a better way. And, you know, with the nation, we were about opportunity. We wanted the advancement, and we wanted the respect to get title shots because we deserved it. We were already fucking good. D'Lo and I had matches with the Outlaws for like 4 years.
I know. What, Mark, what were those conversations like on the road? Because we've talked about it, especially a lot this week, in terms of wrestling is best when it's real, whether it be Adam Cole or Pat McAfee or whatever, you know, correlation you want to draw. Right. But I remember a promo from Farouk, a.k.a. Ron Simmons, or Ron Simmons, a.k.a. Farouk, early in the nation, where he went out and it was with Vince McMahon, I think, before Vince had, you know, taken on the evil McMahon, corporate McMahon character, and he was still doing the announcing thing. I believe so. But maybe we could pull it up for later in the next coming weeks as this storyline develops. But, you know, Ron Simmons had essentially come out and talked about how, you know, this company hasn't had a black champion and you're never going to have a black champion and blah, blah, blah. It was essentially a babyface promo, which was a heel promo back then and the way it was booked, right? But when I look at that, that was real. Like that resonated with me. I remember back at the time and I felt that. I feel it now 23 years later or whatever it was. What were those conversations like on the road when you were a part of the nation and you were figuring out that stable? How much input did you guys have? How much of it was backstage with the writers? Because to me, it read like a bunch of friends that were on the same page.
We had a lot to say about it. And a lot of what Ron said was what we were feeling like.
Yeah.
We're not the New Jersey Generals. We're not out here to make everybody look good. We're better than most of the people that we're in the ring with. And people are going to start getting their ass kicked. Like, we're done playing the role. Like, we are the role. The wrestling should be based around us. And that's what it ended up becoming. You know, the Rock and Ron were such dominant personalities that they couldn't coexist, so you had to split it up because both of them were in championship matches every night. And then you had D'Lo and I who, from a tags perspective, like, we were damn near unbeatable except for the Outlaws, and that had to come to an end. And then the only way that you fix that is to either make us the champions or break us up. They broke us up. You had Godfather who went from Papa Shango to Comet Ultimate Fighting Machine to, you know, being in the nation to being the Godfather. Like, he had multiple personalities, kind of like those were all extensions of who he really was. And that's what we really allowed ourselves to do, is to become who we were because what we were was good enough. And I don't know if the Hurt Business is the nation. They're based off more economics. It's not opportunity. They have opportunity. The business has evolved for black people. Opportunity is not the thing. They have it. They're on the main, they're in the big opening the show and closing the show.
Yeah.
But see, now it's about economics. Where's the money? They don't give a shit if you're white, black, purple, or blue. They worry about green. MVP, and we say there is a better way. You want more opportunity? There's a way for that. But if you economically want to be in the main events and you want the title shots and you want the money that comes along with that, and you have all these people in the back that are not being used, they all want a little money too. So why don't you use these people to establish an army? And when you got an army, you have power. When you have power, you get money. And that is, you know, kind of what the nation was spawned off of. But once everybody got the opportunities and started to be able to go and do their own thing and make their own money, you know, the nation was pretty much over. It was disbanded. That's why we know there's a better way. And Ron Simmons said it best. And, you know, I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, it makes two of us. That is something that I am going to be salivating over as the weeks go ahead. I really hope it continues to play out, and I hope it's done well, because the whether it is called the nation or whatever, the theory, the heart of it means a lot to a lot of people. White, black, yellow, purple, as Mark said, it was a special time in the business. Mark, we started that conversation talking about things are best in this business when they are real, which kind of allows me or pushes me in the direction of jumping back real quick. We already talked about it, and I mentioned it again as we set this up, but Pat McAfee and Adam Cole. Another reason why I think that interaction was real, because you watched the back and forth between them develop. And maybe out there, the listeners, it might not have come across to them, because maybe it's just the fact that we're radio hosts and obviously you're the Hall of Famer. But when you're doing those sort of interviews, and I go back before I was on Busted Open, we were talking about this during the break. I interviewed Dolph Ziggler and a few wrestlers before the Raw 1000 back in, I think it was like 2011. It's hard to know sometimes, especially if you're not always in that, I guess, that bubble, to when you're dealing with a WWE talent or a pro wrestler in general, balancing the line of kayfabe. You don't know exactly where it's going to go. You're trying to be mindful of it, but you could kind of see that happening with McAfee and Cole. And then you could see McAfee kind of try to get on the other side of it once he realized that he had kind of stepped over a line. I'm just saying that dynamic between a radio host or a media member and a wrestler, it's a fine balancing act, and sometimes it can go haywire. That's another reason why I think the McAfee and Cole thing was real, because it had the feeling of that, where they were.
Yeah, I definitely see that. And sometimes when you're on the air, you know, you're just flying by the seat of your pants, but then you have a break and you say, all right, we got a break for a commercial. We're going to come back in 2 and 2. And then all of a sudden you're in break and you're talking about stuff like, you know, well, this is the way I would do it. And this, I mean, I wouldn't say that on the air, but you know, this, and then you come back, all right, we're coming back in 15 seconds. The shit that you talked about off the air, you don't bring on the air. You don't talk about that. And, I think that some of what was said in confidence, kind of leaked into the storyline of the conversation, because it was different than if you watched the whole thing, what happened in the beginning and what happened, you know, prior to that, you know, sensitivity moment that Adam Cole had. I'm going to tell you a story. About 94, I came back to Austin from Colorado Springs and living at the Olympic training facility. And I was with a group of people that I knew, and there was a couple of new people in the crew of people that, you know, I was accustomed to being around already. And this one girl, she's, you know, making comments, you know, it's good to have you back. I hear everybody talk about you and they say how well traveled you are and you've been everywhere in the world and, you know, how accomplished you are and all of the things you've done. And she was like, you know, like, you're so talented. Like I'm just happy to be in the crew and, you know, be around you for, you know, the first time. And I mean, you're not the most handsome guy in the world, but you, and I was like, whoa, bitch. And everybody in the room looked at me like, oh shit, well, Mark, why would you say that? And I was like, she just fucking called me ugly. And I, you know what, man? That was my own insecurities.
Right, right.
I just wasn't her taste. You understand?
Clearly people
out there. But in my mind, all I heard,
Mark. Yeah.
All I could hear in my mind, she just called you ugly. You need to defend yourself. And I said some shit that I should not have said. Now everybody's looking at me and I'm like, well, she just called me ugly. And they're like, no, she didn't. And I'm like, she just said you're not the most handsome guy. What does that imply? Mark, she was talking about how you're talented, that you don't have to get by on pretty, that other people get by off. And I'm like, listen, man, all right, whatever, y'all, you know, I'm out. You know,
but you know, over the last 26 years, you've had time to
sensitivity moment that broke me.
Yeah,
because as a kid, I was called ugly. As a kid, I was called double black. As a kid, I had all these insecurities. Stupid is a trigger for me. Stupid will get your ass beat. I don't care.
Like if someone's like, what are you slow? Or like, what are you fucking stupid? It's over.
Bro, it could be Michael Jackson. I would beat his ass. I'm going to do jail time. But listen, part two of my killing spree will start if somebody called me stupid or imply that I'm ignorant somehow. You know, and that's my insecurities as a kid, because people said that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not knowing I was dyslexic, I couldn't help it. But once I got diagnosed, I'm a pretty sharp individual. I said it before. I may not be the sharpest guy, but I will cut your ass. Like, I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And that was a moment that broke me in front of people. Adam Cole got broke in front of people. It happens. It happens. You look at Vince McMahon when he did the interview with Bob Costas back in the day. Bob said something, broke him.
Was it, Mark?
He hit a nerve.
Mark, wasn't that the around the steroid era with the steroid trial?
Yeah. 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 Bob, I went to court. It's over.
Right.
It's done. And Bob was still wanting to bring it up. And Vince hit them papers, Bob. It's over. You know, whatever the hell he said. But we right. break. We're humans.
Sure.
And people can't see it because they're blinded by the story of wrestling. I said the biggest stories of wrestling is when the art imitates life, not the other way around. Now, they're stupid. You want to hear stupid? If they don't make it wrestling,
yes,
then that's ignorance.
Yeah,
may not be stupidity. Stupid is just stupid, but it's ignorant. You got something that people care about. They recognize it. They see it. Make the story. Put it on TV. Make people pay to see it.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.